Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisara Amadou, and let's dive into this week's episode. Hello everyone and welcome back to Disclaimers Aside. Today is Friday, January 5th. And it's finally starting to feel like the new year. This year, for New Year's, I went on a trip to the East Coast for a week leading up to New Year's Eve. And I arrived back home on New Year's Eve on Sunday the 31st. And then right after I came back, we immediately had people staying with us for a few days after that. So it really wasn't until like the 3rd or the 4th that I actually felt like, okay, it's New Year's. Time to start setting the intentions, time to start creating the vision board, time to start all of the work that kind of comes in the first 2 weeks of January to set yourself up for a good new year. Although I will say, you can decide to start doing this work, setting yourself up for a good year, setting New Year's goals at any time throughout the year. It doesn't have to be that first month of January. I think there's this misconception that if we miss that small window in January, that the whole year is ruined, and that's not really the case. A few days ago, I watched a video by Alicia Marie that I really, really liked, and she was talking about how in 2023, one of the things that she did was differently about 2023 versus previous years was let go of expectations on herself, let go of pressures, let go of this constant need to be doing more and making more money and all of these things. And surprisingly, it was only when she finally let go that she finally excelled. 2023 was a great year for her, career-wise, socially, all of those things. And I thought it was kind of interesting that the minute that you let go, the minute that you stop putting these pressures on yourself, and you just allow yourself to thrive, to be honest, outside of the bounds of the constructs that you make for yourself, you actually do that. I think that was an important reminder for me that you don't necessarily have to put those pressures on yourself and you can still do well. But I'm excited to finally get into the stage of planning and thinking about the new year. One of the things I really like about the semester schedule is instead of going back to school right after the new year, we actually get until, for Berkeley, it's the 17th. So I'm going to be home I have a good 2 weeks after New Year's. So just kind of get settled. I think especially this year I really need it because I didn't really do too much of like the New Year's prep before I left just because I was going on a trip. And so I definitely felt like starting 2024, it was a quote unquote, you could call it a rough start. But I wasn't really just thinking about like what I wanted out of 2024. I barely thought about what intentions I wanted to set for this year. I think in the last podcast episode, I think I talked about some of the things that I wanted to focus on and see in 2024, but I didn't really set concrete goals for 2024 until this week. And we're going to be sharing those goals in today's episode. But before we dive into that, I do want to give you guys a little bit of a weekly recap. This is the new segment that we introduced this season. This is a segment where I just either give a life update, talk about some new experience, a new lesson that I've experienced. And one of the things that I learned from my trip to the East Coast was the importance of family. And it's something that I think my parents really instilled in a young age, especially my mom. She always growing up told us family comes first, blood is thicker than water. She would always be the type to really push us to like value our family over things like friends. And she always told us like growing up how she had always had a lot of friends, and something she learned later on in life was the importance of family. My mom grew up with a lot of siblings. She grew up with 12 other siblings, so they were a total of 13. And I feel like when you have a lot of siblings like that, you almost don't even need other friends. But as she grew older, she really saw the importance, the value of siblings and how important of a role they play in your life. For us, she always told us growing up, your family comes first. It's really not something that I understood until I got a little bit older. And I really, really learned the importance of that on this trip. This was the first time that me and my sisters got to travel and visit family on our own without our parents. And it actually was kind of a different dynamic than traveling with our parents because our parents weren't really there to be a buffer between us and our family. And so it really forced us to like connect with our family members, especially like our aunts and uncles, just because I think when we go on these family trips and we see our family, a lot of the times we're mainly spending time with our cousins. But this time, because my parents really weren't there, I got to really spend extra time with my uncles and like learn a lot more about them, learn a lot more about my family, and just hear about kind of their childhood stories. And I really, really enjoyed just listening to a lot of the stories that they told and a lot of the wisdom that they have. I think especially now that I'm getting older and seeing how short life is, I'm realizing the importance of like having these types of conversations and asking questions to some of your older family members, because you really don't know how long they're going to be with you. You don't know how long you're going to have the opportunity to hear their story and to hear their perspective on the world. Especially because my childhood was so different from my parents' childhood, and I'm growing up in a completely different country. So it was really interesting to just understand better what that looked like and just hear different perspectives. I think like hearing what my mom was like as a child from her brothers and sisters was so interesting, especially since my mom wasn't there to interject and contradict what they were saying. What I really valued from this trip, beyond getting to like go see the East Coast and travel to new cities and all of that, was to really spend time with family and to just hear more about their lives and hear more about their stories. It's something that I urge you to do. Like at your next family gathering, really take the time to connect, especially with older family members, and just hear their perspective on life. So Rec of the Week is the next segment. And this is kind of where I give either a product recommendation or some sort of advice. So this week, my Rec of the Week is actually going to be a brand called Papier. They're a stationery brand that I absolutely love. They're not sponsoring this podcast, but they have sent me a lot of PR in the past. And they've just kind of sent over like their journals and pens to try out. And I feel like in the new year, this is the perfect time to try out Papier, because they have really, really cute notebooks. And I feel like with stationery, a lot of the times, like, it's hard to find cute stationery design-wise. Like, you can find plain journals, basic plain Leuchtturm, or what's the other brand? I can't remember the other brand. But there are two main bullet journal brands that are really popular. It's really easy to find those, like, plain journals. But I feel like when it comes to designs, it can be hard to find, like, more fresh, modern designs. Especially designs that are not giving millennial, no offense to any millennial listeners. But I feel like Papier has really cute, fresh designs. And what's really nice is you can customize it too. So you can go online and you can add your name or like add any customizable text to the actual journal itself. And you can customize the inside, so you can make the inside of the journal dotted, lined, plain, whatever you want. I really like Papier's journal. They have hardback ones, and then they have softback ones, depending on whatever your preference is. And this year I've been using this like pink one that says Le Carnet, which my sister told me is notebook in French. Didn't know that. It's really cute and aesthetic. I've been using this as like my 2024 journal, just for like journaling thoughts and all of those things. But they have a lot of different ones. They even have like planners and stuff like that. So I think this is like a cool site to check out if you're looking for some stationery, especially around this time for the new year. So I'll link the site to Papier in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. That's personally what I've been really, really loving. I got the dotted journal. I just personally prefer dotted notebooks, just because they give a little more structure without the lines being like too harsh and in your face. So my unpopular opinion for this week, disclaimers aside, is going to be related to the new year, and it is that people often make vision boards a little too complicated. I was watching another one of those like New Year's videos, and it was Kenna Marie's 2024 vision board video, where she was like getting ready for the new year, and she was talking about how she was watching someone else's vision board video, and they had created a very simple, bare bones vision board, something where each picture you can tell connects to a specific goal for that year. And so when you look at that vision board, it's a lot easier to be able to tell like what you want out of that year and the goals that you want. My sister showed me her vision board from 2023, and she used the same approach where like she had very specific pictures for very specific goals. And she even took pictures throughout the year when she hit those specific goals. And so she could align those pictures with what was on her vision board. And she was able to like better manifest or achieve or actualize exactly what she wanted out of 2023. Whereas I think my approach with vision boards is a little bit different, and I think it's like most people's, where I just kind of go on Pinterest and I just start pinning a bunch of images that I want that year to look like without really thinking about, is that something specifically tangible that I actually want to achieve? And sometimes it kind of leads me to just pinning a bunch of like random aesthetic photos that I feel like go with the vision board or go with the aesthetic that I want to achieve out of that year, but are not necessarily tangible things that I could achieve. I kind of want to redo my vision board, or maybe just make like a separate one, just because I want to try that approach of like pinning very tangible things, so that it's easier to kind of see like what goals I want to achieve. It can be fun creating like a little aesthetic Pinterest board for that year. Vision boards are much more effective when you go the more simple route of just pinning things that really align with specific goals that you have for that year. Vision boards are really, really powerful. I will never forget, I think it was like 2022 or 2021 when I put Berkeley Sather Tower on my vision board, without knowing that that was Berkeley Sather Tower. And that was the year that I got into Berkeley. And a couple other things really came to a fruition. But I think vision boards are really, really powerful. And obviously as Muslims, you gotta pair that with making dua constantly. But I think it's fun to just have a sort of visual of like what you want the year to kind of look like. And then in a year, be able to look back at it. Because I think goals kind of explain what you want out of the year. But like, I am definitely a very visual person. So being able to look back and like see a visual representation of what I imagine that year to look like is a lot more fun than just reading a list of like intentions for the year. I personally use Pinterest to make my vision boards. I think it's the easiest. I know some people do physical ones and they actually print out the pictures and like do that. You can do that, you can do a digital version, but personally it's easier for me to make a Pinterest board. You can also take the images on Canva and make a digital version of it and make that like your wallpaper on your desktop or your iPad. Some people do that so that they can constantly see their vision board throughout the year. So it's like a subliminal reminder to continuously keep working towards whatever goals those are. But you just kind of have to figure out what works best for you. So I want to give a little recap on the East Coast trip. It was so much fun, and stay tuned on youtube.com/AisraAmadou for the vlog, because I vlogged the entire trip. I'll link it in the show notes. But essentially we went to the East Coast to visit two of my uncles. One of my uncles lives in Virginia and the other one lives in Connecticut. And we flew out the night before Christmas Eve and we landed on Christmas Eve in Virginia. So we started off in Virginia. We stayed in Virginia for 3 days. We landed, immediately went to sleep because we had a red-eye flight, and I feel like red-eye flights, they just destroy you. Like the next day, it takes at least 24 hours to recover from a red-eye flight unless you time it really well. And I was sitting in the middle on a United flight. I wasn't sitting next to my sisters either, so it's not like I could lean on one of my sister's shoulder. I was in the middle of two strangers, so I did not get a wink of sleep throughout that entire 5-hour flight. But we landed, we caught up on sleep, and then that day we pretty much just spent the day sitting in the living room, chopping it up, catching up. My uncle was showing us a lot of pictures from his travels. He likes to go back home to Mauritania and like go to the desert and just like almost like, it's basically camping is what he does. Like Mauritania has a lot of open land outside of the major cities. And so he would just go camping in the desert. And it was really cool to see his pictures because he was showing us a side of Mauritania that I hadn't really seen before. I've really only gone to Nouakchott and Baba Bay and like drove through a couple other villages. Like I think we've driven through Kahedi, but I haven't really visited a ton of other cities in Mauritania. At one time we went to Rosso to visit one of my uncles, but other than that, we haven't really explored a ton of Mauritania, which is like something I definitely want to do when I'm older. But he really loves to explore Mauritania. I think he goes very frequently, and a lot of the times he'll go out into these areas of Mauritania that have, he was showing us like mountains, he was showing us canyons. I didn't even realize Mauritania had canyons. And the picture of the canyons were huge. Like, I'm talking Grand Canyon huge. He was showing us all of these different animals and like topography that I had never seen before. Like, he had shown us videos of crocodiles. I didn't know Mauritania had crocodiles. Just such beautiful aspects of Mauritania that I had never really seen, that I feel like are just never really represented. And so it was really cool to just hear about all of his different stories and his travels. And then that night we had South African food for the first time. I never had South African food, but he ordered takeout from this restaurant called Nando's. It was so fire, so delish. Then the next day we went to Georgetown for the day. I have been to Washington DC a couple times, so I've like seen all the major things, like the White House, the memorials, all of that. I've like visited it with family. And then in eighth grade in my school district, they go on this thing called the DC trip, where they take you to Washington DC for like a week over spring break, and they take you on like a tour of Washington DC. So I feel like I've thoroughly seen Washington DC to the point where like it wasn't necessarily necessary for us to go to DC. So we explored Georgetown, which is an area that I hadn't really explored before or went to before, and we visited a family friend. He had like this really cool brownstone house in Georgetown itself, and his house was so cool. Oh, the architecture there is just so different from the West Coast. Like, it's giving historical. Like, I was walking around Georgetown and it felt very colonial. It felt like colonial America. So it was really different from what I'm used to, and it was really cool to be able to just walk around. This was on Christmas Day, so like everything was pretty much closed, and the streets were really, really empty, which was kind of nice because we got to really explore and like take pictures without worrying about people walking around. I was able to vlog and everything. And then there was one French bakery that was open that we walked into right, they were 30 minutes from closing, and it was so hectic. Everyone wanted to get in, get their pastries and their coffee, because they were like one of the only places that was open on Christmas Day. And it was actually a French bakery. It was really good. I got a little croissant and a cappuccino, and it was so delicious, so good. So we grabbed that, and then we just kind of kept walking around Georgetown. We walked through Georgetown's campus because it was just right there in the heart of Georgetown. Everything was just giving dark academia. I absolutely loved it. I feel like in general, this entire trip has made me want to like move to the East Coast. It's something that I definitely want to do sometime in the future. Not permanently, but just like maybe for a few years. I'm envisioning possibly for law school, possibly after law school, and then moving back to California permanently. I think most likely California seems like the place that I would want to live permanently, especially if my parents stay here, because I would want to be closer to my parents when I'm, especially as I get older and especially as they get older. But I definitely want to go live on the East Coast for some time and just experience that, especially when I'm younger. So Georgetown was really cool. It was definitely a really cool place, and I think a place you should definitely visit if you're in the DC, Virginia area. The day after that, we went back to the Georgetown area, actually, because apparently all the embassies are around that area. I would have thought the embassies would have been closer to like DC proper, but the Mauritanian embassy was in Georgetown. And we were trying to go basically get a registration for, I think, Mauritanian, like to start the process for Mauritanian citizenship. Because every time we go to Mauritania, we basically have to apply for a visa since we don't have Mauritanian citizenship. And for a period of time, Mauritania wouldn't really allow dual citizenship with the US, or I think honestly it was like other countries. They just wouldn't really allow dual citizenship. So we never really had it. And then now I think in 2012, they started to allow you to have dual citizenship. And the deadline was this new year, like basically 2024, to get it. And of course, with my dad, he's a major procrastinator. He waited until the absolute last minute to send us to the embassy to go get it. The thing is with this, like, process is you can only really do it in DC or Mauritania. There's like no other place you can do it. So you kind of have to go all the way out to DC, which is like a hassle, especially living in California. I think if you're coming from like states around it, it might just be a long drive, but for us it's like a full-on flight. So we figured, let's take advantage since we're going to be in DC and try and get it. And we spent 4 hours in the Mauritanian embassy, just in utter chaos, you guys. One thing about Mauritanians, they do not follow rules. They do not get in a line, nothing. It was just chaos. It was people chopping it up with each other. Hey, you and my dad know each other. We're from the same village. We're cousins. People trying to cut the line. It was just very chaotic. And after 4 hours of not really moving anywhere in line, we just kind of gave up and we figured, you know what, we'll try again next time. I think also they're gonna try and like, I think they said that they were gonna extend the deadline anyways, so it shouldn't be an issue. But it was cool to see the Mauritanian embassy, at least to say the least. I was definitely a little disappointed. I thought it was gonna be a lot nicer than it actually was. Like when you hear embassy, you think it's gonna be something nice, but it was just like a little house. That was our last day in DC. We just kind of came back to the house and had a little movie marathon. My cousin hadn't seen the Harry Potter movies in a while. I think she just never finished the Harry Potter movies, so we started like marathoning those. Another movie I watched was Avatar: Way of Water, which I never thought I would watch this because I heard so many horrible reviews about it when it came out last year. But tell me why, I actually really enjoyed the movie. I watched it and the whole time I was waiting to like hate the movie or think, oh, here, this is what people are talking about. But I actually really enjoyed the movie. I think I need to watch some commentary videos and figure out why people really don't like the movie. I think part of it is like the social commentary of it. But I actually really enjoyed it. And I felt like it was a really good sequel. The visuals were really stunning. I love the plot. It took like almost 20 years to come out after the original, but I thought it was a pretty good sequel. And I don't know, the music was good, the visuals, it was a good movie. I will say some of the fighting sequences were a little bit too long, and it overall just was a really long movie. It was like 3 hours. I don't think if I had sat through it in the theater, I would have been able to like sit through it, because I did fast forward like some of the fight sequences. But in general, it was a really good film. That was our last day in Virginia, and then we went to Connecticut for 3 or 4 days, and Connecticut was so much fun. I think in Virginia we spent more time indoors, just like chatting, like having a cozy winter, East Coast winter indoors. We really just went to Georgetown, and mainly it was because like we spent Christmas Day and Christmas Eve there, so like everything was closed. But when we went to Connecticut, my uncle fully was like, we're gonna hit the ground running. And that first day we went to Boston, which I wasn't really thinking that we were gonna go to Boston. I knew for sure we were going to New York and New Haven, because New Haven's in Connecticut, but I didn't realize we would go to Boston. Boston was really cool. I don't think we saw enough of it just because of daylight savings. Like we landed, it was like an hour drive from the airport. We changed and then we had to drive to Boston. It was like a 2 hour drive to Boston, and so by the time we got there it was like 2 almost 3. The sunset's at 4, so by the time we like really started to get to see Boston, like the sun was basically starting to set. It was really cool. We went to the Reflection Pool in Boston. We walked around a little bit in that area, and then we went to this like market in Boston. It was like this alley that had a lot of different like food vendors, and we grabbed food there. We got pizza, walked around, there were people doing performances, the lights were on. It was just like a vibe, you know. I feel like the holiday times are just always really, really fun to be walking around in a city at night. We walked down to the pier, and then we went and like we were gonna just leave, and then I was like, wait, can we just like drop by Harvard for fun? Like I just want to see Harvard and like be able to say like I've been to Harvard, you know, because when are you gonna visit Harvard as someone who lives in California? We drove by Harvard at night. Didn't really see much of it, but it was cool. And then the next day we went to New Haven, Connecticut, which New Haven is like the town or city that Yale is in. And I didn't even realize Yale was in Connecticut. I knew it was like somewhere random in the East Coast, but I didn't realize it was in Connecticut. I think New Haven outside of New York was like my favorite place to go because it was just such a cute little town that just gave dark academia. There's that book, Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo, that's set in Yale. I think it takes place on Yale's campus. So I had read about New Haven a little bit before, but seeing it in person was a whole nother thing. Like, it was castle-like buildings. Like, it felt like I was at Hogwarts or something walking around this little town. They had all these little cute coffee shops, and they had, like, this big central, like, park in the middle of New Haven. I wanted to go to the library, but unfortunately it was closed the day we went, so we didn't get to go there. But there's this, like, museum of art and history you should definitely check out if you're ever in New Haven that's free. And it's really cool. It has, like, 5 different floors of art and history. It's mainly art, but it has really, really cool stuff. The first floor is, like, just African art, and then there's, like, a contemporary art section. There's a European art section. There were multiple European art sections. A little too much European art. But they had a ton of art, so that was really cool. We walked through all of that, and then we went down to the bookstore. I got a book from the little bookstore there. I got the book The Lying Life of Adults by Elena Ferrante. Never heard anything about it. It's like a translated Italian book, but it looked kind of interesting to me, so I just picked it up, and I'm like 10 pages in. The writing style is very interesting. It's unlike any book that I've read before. I don't know if it's because it's translated or what, but it's definitely a different writing style than what I normally read, so it's taking me a minute to just kind of get into it. But that was the Yale day. After that, we went home because we were really tired after that, and we made dinner. And then the next day, we were off to New York City, and we spent 2 days in New York City. I was so excited leading up to New York City. I think this was the part of the trip that I was the most excited for, just because I have always said that I want to live in New York City. Like, that is just something, that would be my dream if I could live in New York City. My mom would always laugh at me because I would say this having fully never even visited New York City. Like, I don't even know what it looks like. I just see it on social media. And so I was a little bit, in the back of my mind, worried that I wasn't going to live up to my expectations, just because that's something that I see with LA. Like, I feel like I see people idealize and glorify LA and think it's like all of that. And as someone who lives like an hour from LA and who's explored LA a lot, like, it's a really cool city, yes, but I definitely think that people glamorize it on social media, or they show an interesting perspective on LA, but that's a conversation for another day. I was hoping that New York City wouldn't be like that, and it definitely wasn't at all whatsoever. New York City is giving city, okay? Love LA. There's so many beautiful aspects about LA, but LA just does not feel like a city to me a lot of the times. And it's probably because I'm not usually, whenever I go to LA, it's not usually like downtown LA. I feel like downtown LA, that's kind of giving more of a city. The rest of LA, like Westwood, Santa Monica, other parts of LA don't give a city in the way that a place like Chicago or New York City gives city. So we stayed in a hotel in Times Square, which was really nice actually, because it was a very centralized location and it had really easy access to the subway system. We had a really nice view of just all of these different high rises. It was actually so unbelievable. It was so surreal, to be honest, the whole 2 days that we were there. And my uncle was like, you guys can do anything. You guys can go anywhere. To my credit, I definitely didn't do enough planning in advance. And like, I didn't really come up with a good list of places I wanted to go to. In my head, I just really wanted to go to Central Park. I wanted to go to see the Empire State Building. And I also just wanted to see Times Square, which we were staying in Times Square. And then the rest, I don't know, it was like very overwhelming. I feel like there's so much to do in New York City. There's so much to see. I'm low-key on New York City TikTok, so I get a lot of TikToks of like different recommendations. But as someone who has never been there, it was like hard to kind of figure out like where everything is. That first day we got pizza. I always wanted to try New York pizza and New York bagels, because people say New York pizza and bagels are the best in the US, at least. Someone told me it's like something to do with the water. I don't know how that exactly works, but we tried New York pizza. They had like this place called Artichoke Pizza, which actually they have the same place in Berkeley. It was really good. Got some artichoke pizza. And then we just kind of started exploring New York City, and we got to take the subway system, which was really cool. I really love public transit, and I feel like no city does it like New York City. Like, the public transit there is so seamless and so easy to use, and just so well ingrained in the city that it's so easy to get around the city. Having visited, I'm like, you do not need a car in New York City. Like, the amount of traffic that was in that city, I was like, I was actually so in shock. I don't know if it was because we were we were there like the day before New Year's, but it was insane how much traffic was there. I don't understand how people try and drive. We visited Kawa House, which is like the basically the Della of the East Coast. It's like a Yemeni coffee shop that all the Muzzies are at. I really liked Kawa House, but I do like Della better for sure. We went to the 9/11 Memorial and like the Financial District, and we got to see the World Trade Center. So that was really, really cool. We got to see the Empire State Building. We didn't go all the way to the top because the line was insane. There was like a 2-hour wait. And also it was like $40 per person to go to the top. So it was kind of really expensive, but we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun in New York City. The next morning, we went to Central Park in the morning, and Central Park was beautiful. It was really, really big, which I knew it was big, but like, I didn't expect it to be that big. I don't think we even walked around the whole thing. And I could tell that it would be so pretty in the spring and the fall, or even the summer, but I feel like in the spring and the fall, it'd be really, really pretty. I think in the winter, it was just very like dead because it's very cold, but it was really beautiful to walk through. We went to this like French bookstore, like this French vintage bookstore across the street from Central Park. That was really cool. They had a lot of really, really cool books and things. And I got another book called Three Strong Women by Mariam Jai. It's by a Senegalese author. And it's about this lawyer who goes back to Senegal, I think after like a family member passes away. So I'm really excited to read that. I think that's gonna be my next read. But we decided to just leave early, leave New York City a little bit early, just because that was like our last day of our trip and we were gonna be flying back home the next day. That was the day before New Year's. But in general, I really loved New York City. I think it was definitely worth the hype. It's definitely a city that I feel like would be so cool to live in. But at the same time, New York City is very expensive. And I think as I'm getting older and I'm becoming a little more practical, I'm starting to realize that you have to think about cost-benefit analysis. Like, is it worth it to live in a city where you're going to be paying $4,000 a month in rent for a shoebox just for the city? Or is it more worth it to possibly live somewhere a little bit further out and just visit from time to time? But it's definitely a city that I want to go back and see again and visit in the future. It was really cool. I feel like in general, alhamdulillah, like this trip was so fun, and I'm so thankful that I got to go on this trip and to see all of these new cities and these new places, and to be able to also just like spend time with family. Love the East Coast. Like, I came out of that trip with an East Coast supremacy complex. But in all seriousness, I just had so much fun. And I think, you know, again, traveling, you learn so much. Traveling, you learn so much, especially if you go by yourself or like without your parents. And so it was a really fun time for sure. As promised, to end off today's episode, I want to share my 2024 intentions for this year. I came up with a list of like 10 that I want to focus on this year. And they were kind of based on like the things that I wanted to focus on that I shared with you guys in my last podcast episode. So I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Number one is to read 50 books. Number two is to write more. There's like a specific project that I want to like work on this year that I'm hoping to complete that has to do with writing. Number three is to work out consistently and eat healthier. Number four is to cut spending on food and drinks, especially drinks. Like, I feel like I've been a barista for 3 years. I know how to make my coffee the way I like it, or matcha the way I like it. So I definitely want to cut spending on drinks specifically. Hoping to hit 12K on YouTube. This next one, I don't even know if it's going to be possible, but I feel like it'd be so fun to do. And it is to travel internationally without my parents, because I've traveled without my parents like domestically, but I've never traveled internationally without my parents. Number seven is to go to Jummah weekly. I think this one will be pretty fairly easy because I've been going to Jummah a lot in recent years. I just really, really feel like going to Jummah really grounds me, and it's something that I want to make a priority in my life. Number eight is to journal twice a week. I think it'll be hard to do every day, but I think twice a week is definitely doable. Number nine is to invest in expanding Islamic knowledge. So this kind of has to do with like what I was talking about in the last podcast episode about reading more about Islam. I want to read. There's a book that I recently got that's about the Prophet's life. So just learning more about the Prophet's life in depth and reading more about Islam, and also just like when I'm reading and listening to lectures, taking notes so that I have stuff to kind of refer back to, and I can like re-review the things that I've learned. And number 10 is to learn how to cook. This is, if there's anything on this list I really need to make happen, it's I need to learn how to cook. It definitely needs to happen during my gap year, because when I go to law school, inshallah, I cannot be eating rabbit food. Those are my goals. I definitely recommend you take 15-20 minutes to write down a couple goals. It doesn't have to be 10, it can just be 5. Make them realistic, make them measurable, and most important, you don't have to share them. You don't have to share your goals with anyone. No one has to know whether or not you accomplished your goals. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's podcast episode. Happy New Year. I wish you guys a fruitful 2024, and I will chat with you guys in my next podcast episode. Bye.